Hi everyone, we want to start things off a bit different today. We want to thank all of you listeners out there that take your time and listen to this episode and show us love and appreciation for what we're doing out here. We love this rapping business and believe in its future and growth. So if you happen to have some time over, do leave us a rating on iTunes. It does help us spread the word and reach into further parts of the rapping world. Once more, from the bottom of our hearts, thanks for all the love and appreciation and stay tuned. Because there's more to come. But for today, we have a man that has one of the cleanest rap shops in the world. He's also known for having a great attitude, being a hard worker, having an eye for details, and an urge to always learn new ways of doing things. His name is David Wright, and he is the creator of the New Zealand-based shop, so beautifully named The Rap Shop. It's time to Rap Talk with David Wright. Welcome to the show, Mr. David Wright from The Rap Shop. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here.
Yeah, it's cool. Sorry it took so long, but I'm here now.
Hey, don't worry about it. Let me start off the part by saying this. This is what I know of you.
Mm-hmm.
I know your name. Yep. I know the name of your shop. I know you are a Penis Dead member.
Yep.
I know you are probably the cleanest rapper in the world.
Debatable.
And you are a Jack Daniel man.
Yeah, we do like our Jack Daniels.
So that's what I know.
Yeah.
So yeah. Fill me in what I'm missing.
A small shop in New Zealand. I probably had the shop for, I think, three, four years now. Mm-hmm. So, and we've got about five staff, so it's all going well. So, yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah. That's going good.
So you've been in the business for a couple of years, not so many.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you stumble in the business?
Oh, I stumbled in. I actually did I started off doing a sign writing apprenticeship. So what I did is I did a sign writing apprenticeship at this company called Rocket, and the owner was Ross Hall. And it was a really, really good company to learn at, because I was quite fortunate to use like all the best materials there was back then. You know, yeah, so we were using like 3M 180 print film, 180C. So I was quite fortunate to use really good films from the start with Ross. So I did that for about four or five years, I think our sign writing apprenticeship was. So that's just installing signs, commercial graphics, commercial fleets, and doing a little bit of color change wrapping, but not much.
So you were doing wraps, right?
Yeah, not
so many.
I wasn't doing color change wraps back then, but I was doing a lot of fleet wraps and signos. So I guess it's a good way to get into the industry because you understand vinyl before wrapping cars. Yeah, so I did that for about 5 years. And then I left. I finished my apprenticeship and I left and I went contracting. So I went, as you guys call it, freelancing. I went freelancing. So I was kind of going around other shops and kind of seeing how they did it and how just their techniques that they were doing. I always knew one day that I would start my own shop. So I was kind of gathering the best ways from different shops to do things.
Right.
At that stage, I probably didn't know I was going to have a wrap shop, probably a sign shop back then. So I did that for maybe a year, just contracting. And then, I went over to Hong Kong just for a holiday. I went over to Hong Kong for a holiday. And then I went to a company over there. I think it was Rapworks over in Hong Kong, this guy Pat. And I went and saw him one afternoon. And I was just blown away. I just couldn't believe the stuff they were doing, you know. The color changing, the quality. Back then they were doing coating. And it was just, it was nuts. I was there and then I was like, man, I got to do this now. Like, I got to start the shop now before someone else does, you know?
And this was about 5 years ago or something like that.
Yeah. This was about 5 years ago. So I think seeing that shop in Hong Kong really like kicked it off for me. that I need to do this now before someone else does.
So tell me a little bit about the freelance life.
Oh, the what freelance did you
life learn? What, yeah. What did you like? What did you not like?
Well, I was doing a lot of vinyl. I was doing a lot of vinyl work, and I was doing a lot of signage as well. But I didn't like the setups that some of the shops had. You know, like some of them were quite dingy, like low light, you know, dirty. It had like wood cuttings all around and stuff like that. So I guess that kind of impacted how I set the shop up today. And it's funny because once I left the first place I worked at, Rocket, like that place was set up amazing. Like I really take my hat off to Ross. He ran that place like a pretty tight ship, and he had clean walls. Like the whole shop was clean. Like the skirting boards, there was no dust on the skirting boards. You'd get fired if there was dust on the skirting boards.
That's tough.
Yeah, yeah. He
tough
was
love.
Yeah, yeah. But it was good to learn from, you know. And
right.
Yeah, so it kind of set the standard for how I probably have the shop today.
All right, so that's what you liked and did not like with the freelance life. And now you're about to open your own shop. How was the New Zealand rap scene? Was there any at all? Or
There was some people doing it, but in my opinion, not well. Sorry.
No, it's, you got to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. There was just a lot of sign writers. Like there was a lot of sign writers doing color change wraps, but you know, they were kind of using the big Stanley blades to cut out panels and cut on the cars. So they didn't really, yeah, it wasn't there yet. Like the level it is today, it wasn't there yet back then. So I guess I had seen it like through, you know, social media, Instagram, Facebook and stuff like that. And then obviously seeing it in Hong Kong, it was just, New Zealand was just so far behind.
Yeah, because it sounds like you needed to see it by yourself at Rap Works in Hong Kong.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Just, it's possible.
Yeah, definitely. So once I saw it in person and talked to the guys, you kind of, like, everyone says, like, how can you survive just being a rap shop, you know? But they were doing it. Like, they were doing it, just 100% custom color change work.
All right, so you decided to open the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know you were going to call it the Rap Shop? How did that name come about? Because I love it, but it's just it's spot on.
Yeah, it's quite cool. I guess like, you know, if you were going to take your car to get wrapped, where would you go? You would go to the Wrap Shop, right? You wouldn't go to, you know, you wouldn't go to some Graphics Creations or like, you know, some other weird place. You go to the Wrap Shop to get your car wrapped. It's like you go to a paint shop to get your car painted, you know? So
I get it.
Yeah, we're quite new. We were quite like, wrapping's quite new back then. So to have it in the name was quite a big thing, to get it out there to people. Like what's wrap?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So if it was in the name, then people would start asking questions. So
you come up with the name?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you go about after that? What were you thinking of?
I come up with the name, and then I had to get into a space. I had to get into a workshop, you know. So I was searching. I applied for one place, which was a live-in place, like a live-in workshop, mm-hmm. which I'm so glad I didn't get now, thinking about it, because I got denied from that one. And then the landlord of that one, actually put me into another one, which was a lot smaller and low stud ceiling. It actually looked more of a studio, more like a studio. And I guess that's how the whiteness kind of began in the shop.
Did you envision it? Did you see it in your mind, or you just yeah. happened to stumble on a white shop?
I mean, when I moved in, it was kind of like a big shell. And then I stripped the floor black. Painted the floors. The walls were white, so we were quite lucky. I knew it had to be a clean shop. And then one of my friends is a photographer. So, you know, we kind of had to set it up to be a pretty much a photo studio wrap shop in a way if we were going to get noticed.
How did you think about entering the market? Because the way I hear it is you're completely new and you're trying to get into the color change scene, which is not something that you used to do so much.
How were you thinking of it?
Yeah, when I first started, I kind of just jumped in. Like, my dad told me not to do it. He regrets that now. He even tells me
that. Be responsible.
But I always knew I had, like, freelancing as a backbone if I couldn't make enough money just doing color change wraps. So as my theory was kind of spend as much time as I could in the shop. But for the first, like, month, I think, I did freelancing work for other companies as well just to pay the rent. Until I got my name out there, you know. So it was a bit of a jump to get into the shop, but I'm glad I did it now.
Do you remember your first wrap you did in the shop?
Yeah, I actually do remember my first wrap. So we painted the floor. We painted the floor the night before, and then the first wrap coming over the day after. The floor didn't even have that much time to set. And then it was our first wrap. So I did that with Martin, and he wasn't an employee back then, but now he's an employee of the shop. So how's that work, eh? That was our first wrap, and I remember it vividly because once we finished the car, we reversed the car out, and it took the paint off the floor with the tires. Yeah, like, the paint was that fresh. So. I don't know, at the old shop, have you seen the photos? You can always see the cars are parked on like tiles. They're always parked on tiles. That wasn't for show. That was literally to stop the paint, the hot tires lifting the paint up off the floor.
There you go.
There you go.
So you mentioned, before we go into all the wrapping, you mentioned something that seems very clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
And is that, as I said before in the intro, you seem to have the cleanest wrap shop I've ever seen, where all the walls are painted white, the floors are clear gray.
Yeah.
You pre-painted some wrap zones or bay areas. This cleanliness seems to follow you. Cleanliness and tidiness, I gotta say, seems to follow you in whatever you do as a person.
Yeah, I'm a pretty messy person at home, but the wrap shop's pretty clean. Yeah, it does. All the guys at the shop really like having a clean shop. I mean, we clean every morning before we start work. Like every day we sweep the floors and just make sure. It's a good feeling working in a clean shop. I always joke around to the boys saying a clean shop's better than clean work. You know, which it isn't. Clean work's better than a clean shop. but it's kind of just the way I believe.
Do you see, for example, customers, do they react to it when they come in?
Yeah, 100%. They walk in and they're mind blown. They because this is the shop I'm in now is actually my second shop, the second location. You wouldn't actually notice it because that's why I set the second shop up the same as the first shop, so you can't really tell in photos.
It's just the ceiling that's different, right?
Yeah, we got a higher stud. So this new shop, we got a real high stud ceiling. So, but the layout's, pardon me, still the same on the shop. We just got more space.
All right. So you said start the day off by cleaning.
Yeah, we get in the morning and we clean. We tidy up. We're probably one of the cleaner shops, but. We got five guys working around the shop. We can probably be the messiest shop as well. So it just takes a while to get back to clean.
That's what I'm thinking about. It's five people. I know the struggles we have in our shop to get it clean. And we're not even a tenth of what you are in cleanliness.
We do spend a lot of time cleaning. I even come in on the weekend and clean as well, like Saturday and Sunday. I'm usually here. Me and my dad, Saturday mornings clean. It's crazy.
Wow, man. Respect for you, man. That's a lot of respect.
Yeah, it's like my baby, you know. So some people like cleaning the house on the weekend. I come to the shop. I like cleaning the shop.
I like the way you think.
Yeah, definitely.
So you have now the name.
Yep.
You have an extremely clean shop and tidy shop.
Mm-hmm.
What comes next? Where do you find the customers?
The customers, probably word of mouth. But to be honest, I'm real fortunate. Because when I first started the shop, one of my best mates, Chad, he was a photographer. So he always took the photos. So what that was like a big thing from the start. I wanted proper photos of every job. And yeah, he took the photos from the start. Thank God. And now everyone kind of knows us from the photos and the cleanliness of the shop. And then they just want their car here.
Yeah, because I see the photos you put up. The cars are, they're above average. You seem to be all about personalized cars, color changes. And I get it from you that seems to be a plan from your side.
Yeah. I try to be as much color change as possible. We do a lot of fleet work still. So we still, like, we have our own printers and cutters and laminators. And there's, you know, most of us are sign writers by trade. So we still do know how to do the fleet work. And that kind of stuff pays the bills sometimes. So
yeah, not that way that goes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, I mean, I would say we're probably mostly a color change shop. We wouldn't be 100% yet, but we're trying to get there.
Do you feel there's a market for it in New Zealand?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's coming. Like New Zealand is like 2 years behind the rest of the world, I find. So yeah, so that's why I like kind of see me every year. I can kind of see what's cool there. You know, what's happening, what's the colors, talking to the people, what are they doing at the moment. And it's funny, it's like 2 years after that we're doing it.
So man, that's cheating. Well, it's not really cheating. You know what's coming for you.
You can be prepared. Yeah, so I do know what's coming and stuff like that. So I can go over to SEMA and then talk to the guys over there and be like, what's cool right now? And they're like, oh, we're loving the Saturn dark grays. And then right now all we're doing is Saturn dark gray wraps.
There you go.
Yeah, so you can kind of see what's coming, which is good.
Hey, and it's good for you, man.
Yeah, for sure.
So are you five installers, or is the shop divided a little bit different?
Yeah, we got so a bit different. So there's me, we got two applicators. We got one tinter that's an applicator. We just took the tinter on. And then we got another guy, Chad. He kind of runs the whole shop. So he doesn't actually touch vinyl, but he just runs the whole show and pulls the cars apart when he has to.
And takes the photos. Design as well?
The design?
Yeah.
One of my guys, Marty, he's probably the best in the design in the shop, so we kind of just leave it to him.
Sort it out.
Yeah, he hates it. He hates me for it, but he's the best one. He's the best guy for the job.
I've seen, and a lot of people probably know this, you have an Avery color, right?
Yep. We got an Avery color, Saturn Sand.
Tell us a bit about that. How did that came about?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had a vision when I first started. Like, I always wanted to do stuff, but you couldn't afford it. Back when you first started, I was like, man, I'd love to have own custom color to the shop. And then we've had this color for so long. Like, we've wanted to do this color for so long. But we were fortunate this last year to be in a financial position that we could afford to do it, you know, to buy the minimum rolls to get it done. So yeah, we knew the color we wanted. We've got Pantone books here because we print and design. So we got that going, sent it off to Avery, got it done, got a sample back. We were happy with it and got the rolls made. So yeah, it was pretty cool to have your own custom color.
Did you get to name the color yourself or?
Yeah, you do name the color yourself. So yeah, that's why I called it Saturn Sand. Straight to the point, just like the wrap shop, you know?
So where does the inspo came from?
The inspiration come from the American military cars, really. So we kind of don't get those cars here. We don't get those colors either. And we had a lot of customers back in the day asking for them. So yeah, that kind of helped our decision to make this one our first custom color.
That's nice. It's a really nice color. I'm not sure. You need to have sun for it to shine. I don't know. That's my.
Yeah, you do.
My personal.
It's quite a stealth color. In mm-hmm. some light, you know, you can tell it's the military color, but in some lights, it kind of looks lemony. But it's just different. It's so unique. It's on my work truck at the moment, and everyone just looks at me like, "What the hell?"
All right, cool. Yeah. So, when people, let's say, someone finds you on Instagram,
uh-huh.
and they see your crazy pictures, the shop, the mm-hmm. nice cars that you have, and they might think that it all has been pretty easy and painless, that you hit the lottery, the wrapping lottery, it's usually never like that. So
no,
you might not. Sharing this, you might sharing any tough times you've had and what you learned from them.
Yeah, I've had a lot. I work a lot, you know, okay. kind of like most of this industry. Right. Yeah, I really do work a lot. Back when I first started, I don't know how I still have a girlfriend, honestly. Like, I worked so long back when I started, and everyone kind of knew it, that like, oh, where's Dave? Oh, he's down at the shop. Like, so everyone knew where I was at all times. But yeah, I did do some long hours, and I was real fortunate that the people I had around me back then were always there to help me out. Like, you know, two of the guys that work for me now, three of the guys actually that work for me now, back then would always help me out of hours and stuff like that. So it was a tough ride, but you got to put in work to get out.
Do you feel that you're still, I agree with you. Do you feel that you still are doing the long hours?
I feel like I could still do long hours, but not as much. The boys don't like me working late. Much because I break things. So they kind of like have a rule. They don't want me here past 8 o'clock at night because that's when I start breaking things, like pulling cars apart, and something will happen, you know. They'll leave for work at like 5-6 and then come to work and a disaster's struck. Like I've broken something or I've fucked something up. So oh god.
So you know it's an all-nighter then for a team.
Yeah. So yeah, I try not work like much late anymore, but I probably am at the shop 7 days a week still.
I mean, when you love it, you love it. I don't know what to tell you.
You just love it, man. You get stuck in it. It becomes a OCD disorder.
I heard it a couple of, I don't know where I heard it, but I heard it recently, but someone said you don't own a business. The business owns you.
Yeah, for sure. The shop controls me.
So, I don't know. I felt like I needed to sign under that one. So yeah. That's one of the lessons you've had, long hours. Is there anyone else that pops to mind?
When I started the shop?
When it comes to, you know, the tough times, you know?
Everyone's always been real supportive of my work. My girlfriend's still there. My friends are still there. Yeah, my friends are still there. My family's still there. So everyone kind of knew I had to put in the work extra hard to get it off the ground. Cause it wasn't an industry, you know, I had to make the industry in a way. It's not like you're just starting another paint shop. You're trying to start a paint replacement shop in a way.
How do you feel, if you got to be honest now,
mm-hmm.
if you see the New Zealand scene, when someone mm-hmm. says David Wright, do they see you as a guru kind of person since you started a couple of years ago and made it all come? Or how are you seen? Are you one of the founding fathers?
Yeah, well, I guess there was always people doing it before me. But one of the things when I first started the shop, I didn't want to be known nationally. I wanted to be known internationally. Mm. So I kind of hope, you know, if someone thinks New Zealand are wrapping, they think of the wrap shop overseas. That's probably why one of the biggest things I wanted to be part of Painters Dead. I want to be the Painters Dead shop for New Zealand. and I achieved it, thank God. And that really helped to get us known in New Zealand.
That's why at least what I think of New Zealand, I think of you and your
that's what I was pushing for, so I'm glad I achieved it.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah. Thanks.
When it comes to customers, what is it the one thing you believe customers appreciate so much with you and your shop? Besides the cleanliness, besides the awesome pictures, is there anything more?
I guess the customer kind of puts their faith in me and my team, because we travel a lot, like to other sign shops, other wrap shops, sorry, and go, you know, I went to Phenomenal Vinyl, went there for a couple of days, saw how they did it. I went to Joffrey's shop in the Netherlands for 5 weeks, worked with him, saw how he did it. I just recently went to SS Customs. They did it. They were insane. So I kind of take everything I find over there and bring it back and implement it into our shop. So the customers trust me in that aspect. Like, he knows his stuff. He's traveled.
Right.
Going to see me every year. So I guess that kind of helps, right?
Yes, it does. I believe so, at least. So you named a couple of big people in the industry. You said Joffrey, you said Phenomenal Vinyl, you said SS Customs as well.
Yep.
What did you learn? If you had to say one thing of each shop, what did they teach you? What did you learn?
I guess when I went to Phenomenal, I guess the scale of what you can do. You know, he ran a big shop back then. He did a lot of exotic cars and stuff. He was killing it in New York. So Matt actually came over here for 2 weeks and had a holiday.
Rapping.
Yeah, he had a holiday when he came over here. So that was good. When I was in Netherlands, Joffrey's work ethic is insane. He will just keep working and working and working. And his design skills are nuts. Like, it's crazy, man. Once you actually understand Joffrey, you understand where his design comes from in his head.
Yeah, it's all in the head, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, once you understand his background and everything, you understand when you see his design, you see how he works. So he's awesome to watch, and he's awesome to learn from. And then SS Customs, where we just went. I actually went there on the way back from SEMA last year with two of my guys from the shop. So there was three of us from the wrap shop at SS Customs working for a couple of days. And, you know, just being able to work in a shop that's pretty much 99% color change. Like, they are 99% color change. No commercial work, nothing. It's awesome to see.
It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible. So, yeah, fingers crossed that's what happens for us.
I think you'll be there soon.
Yeah, I hope so.
Cool. So if we go into a little bit about the future, where you travel a lot, you've been to many different shops, and you are at SEMA every year. So where do you see the industry going 2-3 years?
In New Zealand, I see it going up, you know.
Volume-wise.
I see it getting busier. Yeah, I see it volume-wise. And more people are learning what wraps are. So we keep educating our customers that way. By good wraps, I hope, not bad wraps. So I can see it going up in our industry. The good thing is, like, talking to people overseas, so if it starts slowing down out there, that's when I know to get out, right? I got 2 years to get out.
That's a 2-year window.
Yeah, I got 2 years to get out. But I see it going up. It can't really stop. It's a lot of the customers, they'll buy a supercar. They want to make it unique, change the color. They're not going to repaint it because they'll lose value. So they'll wrap it. And the supercars aren't going to go anywhere. So,
what challenges do you see then?
What challenges? More shops, I guess. I guess the challenges I see is more and more shops. A lot of people would jump on it, on the bandwagon, because they think it's a cool bandwagon, you know, like, oh, you're wrapping Ferraris and Lambos. But I guess I don't understand the
amount
of hard work. Yeah, it looks easy. And so I see a lot more competition popping up. soon.
Do you have to deal with price quotes?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah, all the time. So our prices are quite high for New Zealand. But, yeah, if we get a lot of people that will get a price from a signwriter down the road, and it will be like a quarter of our price. And, yeah, so.
He tells me he does it just as good as you do. What do you charge so much?
Yeah. They're just a discount wrap shop.
Yeah, heard that one before.
Yeah.
All right, so that's where you see the business, the industry going in the whole. What's coming up for the wrap
for shop? Us?
Yeah.
I guess we're just doing our own thing. We're going into winter here, which isn't as cold as you guys, but it's cold for us. Yeah, so we're just going to keep doing our thing.
You're going to hibernate, no.
Yeah, gonna hibernate. So we kind of we've got this thing. We're probably gonna change films for the winter in a way. So we'll probably use more Hexas and stuff like that, just because it's a bit more rigid. Like it's rather than like 3M snapping in the cold and stuff.
Mm.
So yeah, we're just making the change into the winter vinyl.
That's a good one, winter vinyl. So what are you mainly? Are you mainly Avery shop, or you take whatever's out there?
We kind of take, so we're probably mainly Avery 3M Hexas. All our digital print film is 3M and Avery.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, all our wrap film is 3M, Avery and Hexas. So we in the summer, we'll use Avery because it's quick. The heat, it will just melt around, you know?
All right.
But yeah, Avery is fine for in the winter, but 3M is just not a winter film for us.
So what's hot for you?
Oh, hot for us. Hot for us is 30 degrees Celsius. Yeah, we're in Celsius.
I don't know what that is. Fahrenheit.
I don't know what that is Fahrenheit. But it's I mean, it's not as hot as the rest 86. Of the world, but it's hot for us.
So 30 degrees Celsius is about 86 Fahrenheit.
Yeah, so what's that? Is that hot for you guys or not?
I'm in Celsius as well, so yeah, that's hot. 30 is hot.
Yeah. And then cold, like we just get to about 2 degrees, 5 degrees. So Celsius, cold. In Auckland, the rest of New Zealand gets way colder, but we're quite fortunate we're up the top of the New Zealand, so it's not so cold. But yeah, if the workshop's not heated, it does make a difference what film you use.
So I was meant to ask you. You have, from what I can see from the pictures, you have two simultaneous bay areas where you mount.
Yeah. So we have a workshop that's kind of split into two. It's one big open plan workshop. I don't like walls in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one big open plan. So we've got one side of it's all application and it's all painted gray, and then the other side of it's all polished concrete and looks like a house in a way. It's got all our printers, our cutters, our computers, our cutting tables, our bar. It's got all that. So it's the vinyl gets prepped on one side and the vinyl gets prepped on the other side, applied on the other side. So
you said something really important here. You said bar.
Yeah, but
people need to understand that if you want to see the bar, you go on Insta and look. It's there.
Yeah. So the bar's on the other side of the workshop, so it's not close to the cars.
It's a good start.
We're quite lucky. We kind of got sponsored by Jack Daniels, so they kind of send us a lot of product.
Oh, to keep you going, maybe.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave it a product, not alcohol.
So like we were talking about, you have two simultaneous bay areas where you do the wraps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you planning on expanding and getting and doing more wraps at the same time, or
our workshop's a lot bigger than the two bays? You see, the two bays are just our photo bays, and that's where we actually do the wrapping. Our workshop, I mean, I'm looking at our shop right now.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, we've got about eight cars in our workshop.
Oof,
that's big. Yeah, and a truck. Yeah, eight cars and a truck and two motorbikes. So we got a lot of, there's a lot of stuff you actually don't see behind the lens, you know, like we got a lot of work going in the background.
So what is it that you, those are a lot of cars. I'm presuming you're not wrapping them all at the same time, but with the growth, how do you go about, how do you think of it? Because when you start growing, you might not be able to do all the reps yourself. You might not be able to have time to look at all the reps. How do you think about it so that you keep the quality?
I'm kind of a real firm believer. If you kind of do what, yeah, I'm the boss, but I kind of do what I'm best in the company doing. So I'm better at rapping. So then they're running the whole shop. So Chad, our guy Chad, he kind of runs the whole shop for us, which he's really good at, you know. I couldn't be any happier. So I leave him running the shop like that. I got Marty, the other guy. He kind of runs all the design and runs everything else. I got Ant. He's like the workshop manager in a way. He kind of handles all the cars and stuff like that. And I just rap.
Do you get to final inspections of the cars, or you?
Yeah. I mean, I always see every car that leaves. Like, the shop's big, but it's not that big, you know.
Yeah, and if you know, you know.
Yeah.
You know what to look at.
Yeah. So I know what to look at. And all the guys are really good. Like, they're perfectionists as well. So, you know, they'll fix something if something needs fixing up. They'll never let it go out if they're not happy.
Are they self-taught by you, or do they come in with the knowledge? How?
One of them was actually my manager at my old job. So he was my manager. So he did a sign writing apprenticeship. So he knew how to rap.
Right.
It was funny. The first time I actually met him, he started. That was the first thing I said to him. I was like, "Do you even know how to rap?" That's what I said. And he always brings it up today. So yeah, he knows how to rap.
That's a good way to start.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, Marty. Anthony, one of my other guys, he was actually my best friend since I was six, crazy enough. And he, you know, he kind of went off, did his own thing, and then all of a sudden started working in a sign shop. And then he started getting good, and I was like, "Well, do you want to come here?" And then he come here. And so he kind of learned. I didn't really have to pay to teach him how to rap. He kind of learned how to rap, and then I just fine-tuned him once he got here.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's real cool. So he's really good. We actually call him Fiddles. Because he's real fiddly in the corners. So we kind of give him all the tedious jobs. You know, if it's a real difficult job, we go, Fiddles, that's a job for you. And then we just hired Young. He's our tinter. So he's a real good tinter. He's probably the best in New Zealand. So. We're happy with
him. It sounds like a good team.
Yeah, it's a family. It's a full-on family. So, it's good. It's working good. So
makes me glad to hear.
Yeah. We got quite an atmosphere at the wrap shop. You know, it's probably not like a normal workshop. You know, every day once we finish work, we all have beers together. It's one big family.
That sounds different.
Yeah, it's not like go home, see you tomorrow type of job.
Don't call me.
Yeah. We'll probably keep working once work finishes. We start on the messenger, so I'm quite fortunate the guys put up with me.
So how do you deal with, because I'm presuming there as well, David, that you are like every human being. You get stressed out sometimes. How do you deal with the amount of stress a wrap shop owner has? Is there a special way you deal with that?
Yeah, not really. I'm real bad at getting stressed out. If I'm stressed out, people know I'm stressed out. So I'm just quite lucky the guys in the shop support me when I am stressed out. They know I got a lot of stuff going on, and then I put a lot of stuff on them, so they kind of get stressed out as well. But yeah, we kind of just all pull our weight. And then if someone is getting stressed out, they'll be like, "Don't stress," you know. So yeah, it's hard dealing with it all. The boys at the shop just call me the bill payer. I'm just the bill payer, you know. Like,
don't mind him.
He's just the bill payer. So, some customers will come in and they're like, "Is the boss here?" And I'll just point at Chad, the guy that runs the shop. So,
that's gonna be good.
Yeah. So we all have our sections, I guess, with dealing with stress, you know. The customers that come in, they kind of come and talk to Chad, which he runs the shop. Design wise, they're going to deal with Martin. Application wise, they're going to deal with me and Anthony. Tint wise, they deal with Young. So we've all got our areas, so we're not overstressed. Not.
Oh, yeah. So everyone. So
we kind of all. Yeah, we all pull our own weight with the stress. Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
So I usually have a couple of regular questions I always ask everyone on the show. Maybe you've heard them, but the first one is always the same: is what do you love rapping the most?
That is, I definitely love rapping cars over motorbikes.
Right.
yeah, I guess
more specific Tesla. Than that. Yeah, Tesla's
yeah. Right. I think Tesla's. Yeah, Tesla's are real and nice cars to rap. We went to SS Customs and he does all the Tesla work for America. So he kind of taught us ways to pull apart Teslas that people kind of don't know. So we really enjoy doing Teslas in New Zealand, the few that are actually here. So there's not many here in New Zealand. So
well, in about a year's time, you're 2 years behind, like you said. So it's coming.
Yeah. So Teslas will be our taxis, right?
Right. Okay. So if we go on to next one, what tool are you loving at the moment? What is your go-to tool?
Go-to tool? Oh, that's a hard one. I do love our Painters Dead Pro Series tools. I like our squeegees, our gloves, our buffers. But yeah, I guess the tools that I really like is like the dentist tools, the metal dentist tools. Tucking around corners and stuff like that. Yeah, those things, like there's a few things I can't wrap without. So that would be one of them. And obviously the Avery red, yeah,
the red and blue
tuck tools. Yeah, the red tuck tools. So yeah, those things are real good. There's no one specific tool. Like there's always like five tools that makes a good wrap. But yeah. Well, also we just got the bill collector, the big squeegee.
Yeah, so, all right, the green one.
Yeah. No, the big one. So it's this Charlie from Lettering Express actually sent it to us. And it's like you use it for big box trucks and stuff like that. So it makes your installs a lot quicker.
I gotta check that one out.
Yeah. It's actually called the bill collector.
I understand why.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what would be your favorite color at the moment?
Our favorite color, obviously the satin sand.
Yeah. I knew you were gonna say that.
You knew that was coming. Yeah, you knew that was coming. I'm a big fan of satin black and everyone hates me for it. Like if a customer comes in and they're like, what color should I go? Like the guys pretty much cover my mouth because they know I'm going to say satin black. I love satin black. I actually call it supercar black. It suits supercars so well, satin black. Yeah, so and obviously the satin dark grays. And I wish the Pearl Nero was still there. We actually got a lot of the last of the Pearl Nero, the Avery Pearl Nero. Yeah, so once it got discontinued, well, once everyone was searching for it overseas, I kind of hit up my local suppliers here and I was like, do you guys have any of this Pearl Nero? And they're like, yeah, we got 3, 4, 5.
Oh, you stocked up in that one.
They're like, yeah, so they were like, it's not selling that well. And I was like, cool, I'll take it all if you give me a good rate. And they did. So so they gave me a cheaper rate of like the most hype color.
I'll do you a favor, right?
Yeah. I'll take it off your hands.
All right, it's good. What's been the hardest project you've ever been involved in?
Oh, the hardest project. Running the shop. running the shop. I guess, I don't know. Projects are probably as hard as the guys you got working on it with you, right? Yeah, so if all the guys are switched on, there's no project that's that real hard. So all the hard jobs, I guess, give it to the other guys in the shop. I give it to Fiddle.
You take that one, Fiddle.
Yeah. No, there's nothing that comes springs to mind about the hardest project. you know, we get a lot of extreme cases. We've got to wrap a car in a day. We actually had one over the weekend. We had to fly out to another city, wrap a car in a day and fly back. So they're pretty hard when everything has to go right, you know.
Yeah, when there's a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty, and you hope you've packed enough tools. You hope you packed the right tools. You hope the car's inside. It's not wet. And it's always hard going out the wrap shop to wrap a car.
When you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get.
So what project are you most proud of then?
Project I'm most proud of? I guess the most proud of car that springs to mind recently was the Saturn Red Chrome Audi R8 that the boys just did. That was cool. They did the door jams and everything. Chrome's not that big in New Zealand, like at all, because no one can afford it. So to be able to do a job on a supercar with Avery Red Chrome and actually charge the right amount of money to do the job, that was
Kudos to you, man, if you did.
Yeah. So, that was really cool to see. And do.
It was the first Chrome you ever did?
It was, yeah. I did a car with Joffrey in the Netherlands, a Ferrari in Chrome for the Gumball. But, yeah, this was the first full Chrome wrap we did in the shop, in our shop.
How do you feel?
Yeah, I think we adapted to it really well. So it takes a lot of heat and a lot of people pulling it.
It's different.
Yeah, it is different. I wouldn't like to do it every day like Tate. But it's nice to do once in a while.
Yeah. Can you say if it was Avery or someone else?
Yeah. So what we did, it was actually Avery with like a matte lamb on. So it kind of looked like frozen red. Yeah. So
sounds sweet.
Yeah. I like the Avery chrome.
Okay. All right, David. So if people want to find you on social, where do they need to go?
Just the wrap shop on Instagram and the wrap shop on Facebook. Simple, right?
Yeah, it's that simple.
Yeah, it's that simple. So, that's cool. Us.
And if you would be able to tell whatever you want to the rapping world, is there anything special you would like to tell them out there?
Not really. Just keep growing, you know? Just keep growing so we can grow.
It's like you give and take, yeah?
Yeah. So if you guys grow, we grow, you know? I'm quite fortunate that the rest of the world does amazing stuff. So, yeah, we can kind of always show our customers what you can do. So just keep pushing the boundaries.
So before I let you go, give me your two best tips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Two best tips? Oh, God. A clean shop and good stuff.
So easy, man.
Yeah. Seriously, good staff. It's just, you can't beat it, man. It makes you want to come to work every day.
Clean the floors.
You don't want the weekend to come. Yeah, clean the floor. Good staff. You want to come to work every day, Monday. You know, you're not dreading that Monday when you just want to see your friends and wrap cars.
I understand. I bring that to heart with me.
Yeah. So, and clean your shop.
Clean your shop. So, David, I want to be respectful of your time. I know you're about to set up the day now. I think it's 8 o'clock where you are now. So you're about to start the day. It's been an honor to talk to you. It's been a pleasure. And thank you for sharing so openly.
Yeah, thanks for being on. Oh, you're welcome, man. It's been good to talk to you. And if you ever have any other questions, maybe check in with me in 6 months' time.
Might do a follow-up on that, right? I will do. I guess I'll see you at SEMA then as well.
Yeah, I'll see you at SEMA. Yeah, that'll be awesome. So I'll be out there this year. I don't know how long for, but I'm sure I'll get out.
It's been a pleasure, as I said before, and thank you very much.
All right, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Have a blast. Bye.
All right, man.